This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Martin. Before we begin our next segment, I want to tell you about a special segment we'll be doing soon that will feature questions from kids only. So if you fit into that, and I don't mean a kid at heart, I mean you really are a kid, we would love to hear from you. It can be about the coronavirus itself. It can be what you're worried about, anything. If you're a little person, please ask the adult who helps take care of you, your mom, your dad, maybe grandma, to help you send that question to us. And if you're not so little, it's not a bad idea to let your adult know that you're doing that either way. And we will do our best to answer as many as we can. You can go to npr.org/nationalconversation. You can share it on social media using the hashtag NPR Conversation, or you can call us and leave a message at 202-403-0386. Again, that number is 202-403-0386. And we're asking in advance so we really can find the right people to answer your questions. So we hope you'll send them. Now, regular daily tasks feel like a big undertaking during this pandemic, and that includes navigating social dynamics when everybody has different ideas about what we all should and should not be doing. Now, you've had questions about how to handle social interactions when you might not agree with another person in your community. So joining us now to talk about those issues is Washington Post contributing columnist Stephen Petro, who is known for his writing on civility. Stephen Petro, good to hear from you.
Hello, Michelle. Good to be here.
So we've got a question from a listener named Hannah from outside Chicago. And as people get tired of quarantining, or as some states are lifting some restrictions, I am guessing we're going to hear this come up a lot. And here it is.
I have started to notice that a lot of people that I personally know are starting to not necessarily follow the social distancing guidelines. There's people who are posting on social media about parties that they're having or family gatherings that they're having. And I'm wondering if other people are feeling the same anxiety that I'm feeling about people breaking those rules.
So, Stephen, have you been getting this question? Have you been noticing this too?
I most definitely have. And I have been living that anxiety myself from time to time. And I'll tell you an example. A few weeks ago, a good friend of mine, he decided to get his hair cut. And that was against the guidance here in North Carolina. And it really kind of made me anxious and angry. And it was also my hair cutter that he used. But then he posted it on Facebook. And that was really sort of another insult to a lot of people who are trying to establish new norms now, who we're all kind of struggling to do what we're supposed to do, social distance, wear the mask, not get your hair cut, not go get the mani-pedi. And so this process of establishing norms really gets disrupted when folks sort of act out as individuals and stop thinking about the community or the common good here.
So what's the right response to this behavior?
So the right response when it's in your face is really to explain in a respectful way why you feel the way you do. But it's not about being right. In the end, it's about being safe. So if that means you have to go step off the path or not go to the party, Do that. We're in endless arguments about everything in this culture, and we can't afford to really play around with our health in this way.
Is this somebody you personally know about posting about going to the haircutter, the barber, the hairdresser?
Mm-hmm.
Would you say something to that person directly if this is a person in your social circle? What would you do?
You know, so when it came up, it was already done, and I sort of back-channeled to him saying, you know, hey, you know, you can do what you want to do, but you're putting others in danger. And then actually a hair cutter posted on his Facebook wall, hey, please don't ask me to cut anybody's hair. You're putting me in a life and death situation. Sure, I need the money, but my life matters, and we all need to remember that. So somebody else kind of stepped in over me, which was good. But we need to be able to have these conversations without, you know, without being demeaning, without challenging in a way that makes someone feel wrong, because I think we all know that does not help us kind of correct ourselves.
Our next question is one that we have been getting a lot, and this one comes from Matt in Los Angeles. Here it is.
I'm in my 30s, and both of my parents are in their 60s, and I'm wondering how to approach them about not continuing to visit friends and family. Both of my parents believe the virus is real and feel they understand the risks, but they think that if they're able to wash their hands and maintain 6 feet from each other, even while inside each other's houses, they'll be okay.
So, Stephen, what do you recommend? Can Matt say something without alienating his folks? And I'm imagining they will say, you know what, I've lived longer than you. I'm the parent, you're not. You know,
well,
you can hear it. What do you think?
I'm reminded of conversations with my own parents about other topics, and parents do not like to be told by their kids anything. So, you know, I'm sure there's a pre-existing relationship here that, you know, they're all stepping into, but I would bring both data and caring into an answer here. And the data that I would try to explain to his parents is that, you know, if you look at folks great older than 65, and this is from the CDC, they are 31% of cases. They are 53% of folks who go to the ICU, and they are 80% of deaths. So that's the data part. And I think, you know, that's kind of stark. So maybe that will help them reorient a little bit. But I think the caring part is, you know, and I see this in a lot of cases, imagine for a moment that you are infectious. You're asymptomatic and you're infectious. How would that change how you behave? And in so many cases, that really kind of just flips people the other way around because they realize, well, I never thought of myself as a potential vector. Sure, I'm not going to sit that close to someone. I am going to wear my mask, or I'm going to stay home. So I think, you know, especially in a high-risk group like the parents here, you know, use that as an approach too, because they are not going to want to hurt their friends. None of us want to.
Let me see if I can squeeze this one in, because we've been hearing this a lot, because running and runners have become a big topic of controversy, especially in cities. But it's really one of the only things that you can do for exercise, you know, walking, you know. So, and our next question comes from an editor on this program, Dahlia, who's here in Washington, D.C.
I like to go running outside, and if I'm able to keep a safe social distance, I don't wear my mask. I carry it with me. How do I navigate when people get upset? You know, they shame me or they yell at me for not wearing my mask while running, even if there's 12 or 15 or 30 feet between us.
And I have to say here, Stephen, the mayor has specifically said that you don't have to wear a mask while running. But what do you do as briefly as you can?
You know, the one thing that anyone can do to prevent transmission is really wear the mask. Think about how others are going to feel. Respect that. And I know it's harder to run and wear a mask. I've done it myself. But wear the mask.
Okay. That is Stephen Petro. He's an expert on manners. He's a Washington Post contributor on civility. Stephen, good to hear from you once again. Thank you so much for joining us.
Have a good night. Thank you.